This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I really value living more than working. And so I have always felt this way, like I want to live life more than I am just behind a computer, et cetera. And so like, it's a really big goal for me to retire early. My dad retired when he was 45.
Hi, Barbara here. I wanted to let you know that this week's episode is going to be a two-part series. So part one is going to air today, Friday, May 24th. And then next week's episode will be part two and will air on Friday, May 31st. I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner. And I'd like to welcome my guest, Raquel. Hi, Raquel.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. I'm based in New York City and excited to chat through stuff.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? So age, so we know you're in New York City, income, all that jazz.
So I am 35 years old. I've been living in New York City for 10 years, originally from Miami. My income is roughly $170K a year. I recently have transitioned into working in-house. I've owned my own company for the past 7 years. Last year, I had a bit of sort of a sabbatical, stepped away from work for half the year. My dog sadly got really sick. And so kind of just stuck around with him for end-of-life care. And then once he passed, tried getting back into the market and getting clients again. But I work in the creative world. So with all the strikes going on and just a lot of advertising budgets being cut, it was really difficult finding work. So it pretty much all of last year, 2023, I was out of work.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was meant to be a shorter sabbatical.
Yeah. So I found it to be like kind of a serendipitous closing. I had a few retainer clients like close out towards the end of 2022, a few random smaller stuff kind of trickle in. And then 2023 is when I got like the diagnosis for my dog that he was really sick. And so I was just like, you know what, let me just take this as an opportunity to like hang with him in his last days. His prognosis was pretty poor. So we thought it was like days to weeks kind of situation, but then he wonderfully ended up like kicking it for like 6 months. So even that portion was like grateful for that extra time, mm-hmm. but was a surprise as far as like being away from work for that long.
And yeah. So when you say you're a creative, so you owned your own business doing creative work mm-hmm. and having clients, and then now you went in-house as a creative.
Yeah. So as I was looking for work, it like became increasingly apparent how grim the job market is for a kind of straddle creative and tech. I work in advertising. So I'm either on set producing stuff or art directing or doing social strategy. So it's like kind of these two worlds. So yeah, things were just looking kind of grim. So I was like, all right, I'm open to anything. If I end up going in-house, fine, I'll take it. But it's been a real also just emotional shift going from running your own business to then reporting to someone else and their sort of rules.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And do you work remote or you work in an office?
I work remote. Before 2023, my income with my own business was really high. For the past few years before that, I was making over 200K.
Oh, wow. And that was your take home from the business was 200K?
It was a little bit less than that, but it was pretty high. So okay. I was making probably anywhere between like 180 to 200 around there.
Okay.
And that was like the prior, like 2022, 2021, 2020 was a little bit less than that, but still really productive. And yeah, 2020 was like really when I saw a big increase from like what I had been making in my business to after, which even before that I was like making like 100-ish, you know, so like it was still a very like viable income, you know?
Yep. And how long did you have your business?
I've had it for about 7 years. And I still have it now. So yeah, I haven't like fully put it to rest. Yeah, I'm kind of at like a crossroads. I'm not really sure how my career will develop at this point. I love being my own boss and creating my own framework of how I want to work, the clients I want to work with, the ways that I determine that is social justice is like a really huge part of my values and ethics. So like it's awesome owning my own company and being able to work with brands that are in alignment there. So going to corporate America is certainly not that, but you know, so I still have hope. I still have like sort of trickling income from there, but like that's maybe like $1,000 a month. But you know, previously I was making like over $20,000 a month with that. So it's, it's staggering. The difference,
the drop off. Yeah. And just real quick, are you single, partnered?
I am single. I have a boyfriend. He's significantly lower income than I am.
Okay.
But we don't live together. So all of the expenses are mine. The only one that I think is kind of like informed a little bit by him is groceries, because I don't like cooking and he's an amazing cook. So that's kind of our unspoken agreement. Like I end up buying groceries for essentially more than one person. And in exchange, when he's over, he cooks me.
Cooks. That's nice. Very fair. Okay. So yeah, that is really interesting that the business went from 20,000 a month to 1,000 a month. Yeah. And you think it's just the industry where it is right now?
So it's two things. So I had retainer clients that were social media, the social work. It's very easy to create these retainer clients when you're managing social media. There is never an end date. So like the shortest contract I would sell would be for 3 months, you know, but typically they're for a year. So I have that baseline income and, you know, would book 3 or 4 clients on that. And that is a very viable, like each of those clients were usually around like $4,000 each.
Okay.
So those would kind of fluctuate, but as long as I had even one of those, like I would be okay. And thankfully I was making a lot, you know, booking a lot more than that. And then separately working in production. So I work in advertising. So my set days are like, you know, 2 or 3 days or 1 day here, 1 day there. So it's much more like gig type work.
Okay.
But those, my day rate for those are anywhere from like 1200 to 1600 a day. Wow. So even if I get a couple of days a month, it significantly impacts my income. Yeah. So that is the area where I would love to lean into again. That's where it's been the hardest for things to pick back up, and things are still kind of tricky. Advertising dollars everywhere are down. And unfortunately, with all the strikes going on, it leads to a landscape where everyone's really desperate for work, really low on income, and unfortunately leads a lot of agencies, producers, et cetera, to kind of be exploitative. So if you were making $1,400 a day, well, now we're only going to offer you $700. Are you going to take it or leave it? There's other people that'll do it for $600. You know, like, so it's
pushing the prices down.
Because there's
less demand and there's so many people willing to fill the demand.
Yeah. So that has been an unfortunate consequence. I think things are rebounding, but it's still like that was more so the less stable part of my work. You know, like I might get booked 1 day out of the month for that, Or there are times where I'd be booked 10 days out of the month for that, which is like an incredible, massive difference, you know?
Yes.
And so my retainer social clients was really like, I thought of as like my salary.
Yep. And then that other stuff was bonus.
Yes. So I think what's been tricky is that since the end of 2022 to now, just with the introduction of so much AI, you know, optimizations, like I'm thinking that it may be less and less likely for me as a small business owner to continue to offer these services, just because there's so many optimizations and so many softwares that me as a small business wouldn't be able to afford. Like using one in-house now in my corporate America job, that AI software is $70,000 a year. Like that's not something I would be able to engage in. And that's one of the many that you can. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm like trying to straddle, like, is that a viable future, or have I been like essentially, kind of like beaten out by tech as being a business owner, you know? So like, I'm not sure really what the pathway forward is. I can, you know, I'm trying to, like, I also do hand modeling on the side, which is crazy. That could be like $3,000 for 5 hours. It's so like trying, I have these other sources of income that I could lean into. I have an agent for that. Like I could get potentially.
How does one get an agent for hand modeling?
It's so funny.
Do you like, do you go and like try out? I'm really curious. Did you just go and try out?
No. So it's really unusual. There's really only like two agencies in all of New York. And it's like these two women who run it, who have just been like ruling the scene for decades. There's one other.
I love really niche roles. I think it's really,
it's so wild
with like, when someone's like, I do this and you're like, what? I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know. And that's, it's so wild. Yeah, no, this kind of came to be from like working with clients. So I do on set, I'm a production designer, a prop stylist. So I'm the one that like, you want to be in a diner? Let's pick these plates and these mugs and these forks.
Oh, cool.
And we would have vinyl booths. We wouldn't have these types of stools. We wouldn't, you know, like, so I'm like creating the scene. And then working on like smaller scale sets, like tabletop sort of scenes, working with clients that haven't like, didn't have budget for talent. And so they'd be like, we just need a hand, you know, like if it's a jewelry company, just like a hand peeking in the frame, like picking up a ring or something like that. So like over years accrued a crazy portfolio with super impressive clients. And when things sort of were financially getting grim for me last year, I was like, okay, it's time for me to like capitalize on this. I reached out to all the agencies that I knew of, which are really three main ones, got signed by one of them. And yeah, I mean, I've booked a few jobs through them. Some of them are like $800 for a day rate. Some of them have been $3,500 for a day rate. Like it's,
wow.
It can be really, really staggering and a great source of income and something that I could age with, right?
Like, yeah, I love that you went and sought that out, where like it just kind of was very serendipitous that you just happened to be on set, they happened to need a hand, and that you accrued this portfolio. And when times got tight, you're like, okay, let me see if I can capitalize on this.
Totally. Barbara, I feel like that's been my entire career, where I'm like, oh, I accidentally am here. Who knew? I guess. Let's do this. That has been just, the story of my career.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
So I could potentially try to get signed also with an agent to represent me as a prop stylist and set designer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole journey as well.
Okay, so it sounds like you've had a lot of flux. You know, obviously some of it has to do with the industry, but you're obviously, for your work, very creative, but also very creative in coming up with income streams, which is really impressive. So let's dive into where your numbers are and then some of the things you asked about in your submission. So you're making $171,000 at this new in-house corporate job.
Yes.
Do you want to run me through what your expenses are?
Totally.
And then we'll go through savings and debt from there.
Yeah. And I also, so I don't know if this is like helpful to like mention too. I really value living more than working. And so I have always felt this way, like I want to live life more than I am just behind a computer, et cetera. And so like, it's a really big goal for me to retire early. My dad retired when he was 45.
Oh, wow. What did your dad do?
So my dad was a mechanical engineer, but he was incredibly frugal. And part of his retirement plan include going back to his native country, which is Colombia. So the exchange rate is much more beneficial for him. So, yeah, so that was part of it. But he made it work. Like, whatever it is, like, he saved tremendously. I think I asked him a couple years ago, like, what was the most he was ever making? And I think he said somewhere around like 70 or 75,000. Like, granted, this was decades ago. And inflation, just the value of money changes over time. But like, it's crazy to me, like, thinking, and I felt this way too when I was making around $200,000 a year for myself and my own company. This like degree of overwhelm of like, I know this is a lot of money, but I just simply don't know what to do with it. And I know I want to retire early and I don't know how to execute that. So anyways, some other background information.
Yeah. But, let's get into the, yeah, that's really interesting. Cause yes, in your submission, you said you're 35 and you want to potentially or consider retiring at 45. So yeah, let's dive into the numbers and see what they say.
Okay, so for my household expenses, this is my rent, a storage unit, which is like kind of parsed from like half business stuff, half personal stuff.
Okay.
But so rent, storage unit, rental insurance, cell phone, my like phone budgeting app, and internet. This is what I consider my household expenses. Mm-hmm. My other utilities, gas and electric, are paid for, included in my rent. But okay. So this is $1,856, which is insanely low for New York.
Yeah, especially including gas, that's utilities. Those are your fixed costs, right? So that covers your living costs.
Yep.
Including your storage unit. Yeah, that's very low for New
York. Yeah. My rent alone is $1,400, which like, I'm just like, I need to stay here for ever. Unheard of. But okay, so that's my household expenses. My pet expenses are $312. That's like dog food, toys, dog insurance, and Rover, like dog walking services, transit. So between like parking, gas, like Easy Pass, MTA, car insurance, random Ubers, and then plus a car payment, which we can get to in a second, but it's, my car is paid off. I got a personal loan from my dad, so I need to pay him off, but there's no interest there. Okay. But so all of those together, it's $1,085.
Okay.
And these are all like, I broke all of these things down. So it's like monthly.
Perfect.
Food and beverage. So this is restaurants, going to bars, wine shops, groceries, and coffee. Is $1,175. Health, this includes my paying off my Peloton bike, my Peloton membership, a like in-person gym membership, my medications, and like vitamins, probiotics. All of that comes to $421.
Because you have health insurance through your corporate job.
Yeah. So that I didn't like put in here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. My business expenses, like currently, are just like QuickBooks, a few, like my website, different subscriptions, et cetera, is $148. And okay. I'm just kind of folding business into personal right now, just for of looking at numbers in a wider sense.
Yeah, it's really fun.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit. It's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, plus K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out.
My student loans are, I'm paying right now $11 a month, but this is based off of me essentially not having an income last year. So okay. That needs to be readjusted to reflect my current income. I'm on like the income dependent repayment plan or whatever.
What's your balance on those? And what was your payment previously when you had your own business?
So I've kind of been deferring them for a long time. The total on that is $26,665 at an average of a 4% interest rate.
Okay.
So when we had these like student loan like forgiveness like bills being passed, $20,000 of this was supposed to be cleared. And then whatever happened at the last minute that got nixed. So I just struggle with this because I'm like, I really don't want to pay it if it's about to be cleared. But so that's that. My subscriptions are, $91 a month. Okay. This is like Audible, New York Times, Spotify, Google, Apple Cloud stuff. And then I didn't know what to call this. Grouping. I just called it indulge. But it's like hair, nails, entertainment, clothing, gifts, etc. Is okay. These are all estimates. So I feel like it's hard to tell, but based off of like kind of what I was thinking was $325 a month.
Okay.
And then travel, I have no idea how to like calculate this. Before COVID, I would like snowbird every winter and go to Southeast Asia and like travel for 3 or 4 months out of the year. COVID hit. Didn't travel at all, you know, like, and so like, I'm trying to like get my footing to be like, what does that look like now? Mm-hmm. But so I put $500 a month, like
that feels reasonable,
you know? So all these expenses sum to about $5,400 a month.
Okay. And with your new job, what's the vacation policy?
So I get 20 days vacation and I think 10 sick days. So,
that feels like a lot, but is it 20 vacation days in addition to like holidays?
Yes.
Cause there's usually like 10 to depend on the company. There can be 10 to I think upwards of 15.
Yeah, they have pretty limited holiday. Like for example, like in December, you only get like Christmas Day off, and like you don't get like the week between the like Christmas and New Year's off. Like it's
Yeah, I think the week between Christmas is usually a creative thing, I think.
Yeah. So those are all my expenses. And then I can walk you through my current investments or like what I currently have liquid.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
So my current investments are a combination of like Roth IRA, traditional IRA, SEP IRA. I always forget the acronym for this. ETP, EFT?
ETF.
Yes. So a combination of those.
I'm happy to hear that the word SEP, which means you had a retirement savings when you had the business.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good.
And that was honestly like before, you know, 2023 was like the really grim year for me, mm-hmm. where everything became unstable. But prior to that, I'd been like, I really was just at a loss of what to save. And I knew mm-hmm. my like lifestyle scope creep, however you describe that, like it expanded so much just because I didn't know what to do with the money. And I was saving a minimum of $2,000 a month and still felt like I had too much money to know what to do with, which is such an insane blessing to have. I never, ever, ever thought I would be there. But, having that savings of $2,000 a month is what really helped me kind of get through 2023. I still got into about $40,000 of credit card debt, which I have recently paid off. So I no longer have credit card debt.
Oh, you don't have any credit card debt. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. So you got that all paid off. Okay.
But yeah, having that $2,000 a month for saving that for like a year or two or whatever, like really helped me, buffer my down year, however.
The sabbatical, because you had you had cash available, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So you don't have any credit card debt. So is the only debt you have the student loan and the loan to your dad?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. How much is it that you owe your dad?
I owe him, I think it's $25,000.
Okay. And that was for the car.
Yeah, that was for the car. So at the end of last year, my lease was up and I was like looking for a car. Last year I moved out to the Rockaways.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So like a car is kind of necessary. Yeah. And it's like the suburbs of New York City.
Yeah. For those listening who don't know, that's like how far to get to the Rockaways from Manhattan on the subway, is it an hour and a half?
It's like minimum like an hour 15. You could take the ferry.
But it's far.
It's part of Queens. Yeah. It's still New York City. It's just like literally the tiniest little peninsula hanging off there. So,
but, I would think you would want a car if you were going to be living on the outskirts, I guess. Yeah. Or the suburbs of the city, I guess is a good way to describe it.
Yeah. I was looking into cars and they're just so expensive. I was like cars that were older than mine, like less luxurious, more miles, were more expensive than just buying out my car. Mm-hmm. And 2020 is when I got my lease. It's a Lexus SUV that's like has all these upgrades, and like recognize that I don't need all of those things now. It was definitely a time in my life where I had the money and I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, if I can't have people, I'll have things. And got something that really is over the top. It was a weird situation where I'm like, I could get a sort of like a jankier car for more money. So let me just buy this out, but I don't have the funds. So that's why my dad, you know, very graciously loaned me that money.
Okay, perfect. What do we have saved up?
So I have across all of my investment accounts, and this is excluding, this is so bad, all of my 401ks from my like three previous employers, I have never rolled over. I have no idea who they're with. I have no idea how to even approach that.
Do you know how much is in them? Do you get statements on them?
I have no idea, Barbara. But they were like, each of them, I worked at them for anywhere from like 1 year to like 2.5, 3 years. So like,
okay.
there's something in them. I just don't know how much, how to find out, where to go. And the fun part is two of the three of these are businesses that have closed.
I was just going to ask you if the businesses are still around.
Yeah.
So I was gonna say, you could just call like the HR company of the entity and just ask.
Yeah. One of them is, the other one is Starbucks. I can definitely figure that out. But the other two companies.
Okay, so those are included. We have three little outlier accounts.
Yeah, so these three are not included. I have no idea what's in them. So my current 401k, my like high yield savings, which maybe, I don't know if you want it in this.
Yeah, want to break out like your, let's go through each account just because retirement's a bit different than non-retirement.
Okay, so I have with this company, Wealthfront, they have a Roth IRA that's $23,340.
Okay.
Betterment is another brand that I do ETFs.
Exchange traded funds. So it's an investment account. With Betterment, you can have exchange traded funds inside of a Roth, inside of an IRA. So just to confirm, the Betterment account is a brokerage account or an investment account. It's non-retirement.
Okay. So it's a combination. So I have these exchange funds. Mm-hmm. And then I also have with them my SEP and a traditional IRA.
Okay. And then the exchange funds, what is the title on those? How is it structured?
I don't know. I don't know what that means, Barbara.
So for instance, it would just say like non-retirement. It would just have your name on it.
So I have three that are non-retirement. So they're like, why I was initially drawn to them is that you can do sort of like focus. I'm like just so out of the loop with all of this stuff, clearly. But so they kind of have like templates of like, there's a social impact focused one. There's a climate impact focused one. Mm-hmm. You can have one that's just sort of like general non-impact related. So I have a social impact non-retirement exchange account with them that has $10,192, a climate impact that's $9,887. Non-impact, non-retirement is $10,685. My SEP with them is $9,992. My traditional IRA with them is $6,258.
Okay, perfect. So give or take, we have about $16,000 with Betterment. That's retirement, right? And then 29, we'll just say 30, a little over $30,000. That's individual, meaning personally non-retirement.
Yeah. I guess I like in my brain, I just like catalog that as retirement, but you're totally right. I can pull out from that at any point in time.
Mm-hmm. It's taxed differently as well, which is why I like to break down whether you have like a SEP, a traditional IRA will be taxed similarly, which is it's going to be ordinary income when it comes out.
Okay.
Right. And then if you take out before 59 and a half, there's going to be a 10% penalty, and then it'll be taxed as ordinary income on the way out. Your Roth IRA, after it meets the RIM or it meets the qualification, which is generally speaking, is it has to be in there for 5 years and you're over 59 and a half, comes out completely tax free. And then that's why I was trying to get the breakdown. If it's non-retirement, individually owned, that is taxed at capital gains rate if it's held for more than 12 months and one day. And you have access to it at any point. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. Interesting thing about that is when you were mentioning borrowing to get the car you needed money, you can lend against investments, just like you can any other individually owned asset, like a house. You can borrow against it. Now, it just depends whether if it's in your best interest to borrow against it with the interest rates, right? So, but I always talk with people who don't own homes, because there's always like a big push, like you should own a home, you can always borrow against it. You can always borrow against investments, or usually can borrow against investments, and people don't realize that. But you cannot borrow against retirement investments.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, you can take a 401k loan, But if you have a traditional IRA or SEP IRA, you can't lend against it. But if you have money in an individual account, you can lend against it. If you have, you know, depending on who your provider is.
Yes, that makes total sense. Yeah, in my brain, I'm just like, Betterment, just don't look at it, don't touch it, just forget it exists.
Let it grow.
Yeah. I also have with Amex a high yield savings that has 14,326.
Okay.
And then my current 401k is a combination of, so my company matches up to 4% for a Roth 401k. So I have 4% towards that. And then they also offer employee pre-tax, and I have 16% of my income towards that. But so currently right now I have $14,300.
That's fantastic.
And then, yeah, plus the wild card 401k
that we have to find. So those will be nice extras.
Okay, so I have for just retirement, so this is Roth IRA, SEP, traditional IRA, and my 401k. So that comes to $53,890.
Okay, let me just go back through. So we have the Roth IRA for approximately $23,340, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we have your current 401k at 14,000, it was 300 and something?
And 300, yeah.
Okay, 14,300. Perfect. Okay. And then we have the traditional IRA at 6,258, right? Plus the SEP at 9,972. Yeah, 50,000. Okay, so 53,870. And then your non-retirement is 30,764.
So my non-retirement, I have, like, I guess if, like, would it be helpful to look at this as, like, all my, like, liquid assets, I guess? Like, what? Because I have, like, my checking and my savings that I haven't shared either.
Yeah, we'll go through that in a second with the cash, but, like, for investments that are not retirement.
Got it. Okay. So then I have, for those, $45,090.
Okay, and that's the Betterment, the social is 10,192, the climate is 9,887, the non-impact is 10,685.
Mm-hmm. And then high yield savings, would that be accounted for in here or no?
Mm-mm. Just because it's not invested. It's making money, but I'm not including it as an investment.
Okay, got it. Okay, so then just those extraneous Betterment ones is 30,764.
Perfect, okay. Non-retirement, and we have retirement. Okay. And then let's talk about cash, right? So if it's not invested, it's great that it's making money now in this new environment. But in theory, it's not going to make as much as an investment account, right? Because it's fixed.
Right.
I have your high yield savings down at 14,326. And then what do you have also in checking and savings?
So I have a combination of things. Do you want the total or kind of like each account broken up?
Sure, we could do each account.
Okay. So I have a personal checking that's 18,443.
Okay.
I have a personal savings that's 3,596. And then the following three are business. So I like try to pull my business expenses out of here, you know, round it all out. It's another checking that's 1,546. Business savings, that's $82. Another business checking, that's $4,520. And then I have my high yield savings of $14,326.
Okay, perfect. So we'll keep the business separate for now, just because as business expenses come in, you have to maintain the website and stuff like that. So can I ask you a question? With your checking account, why do you have so much in the checking account versus putting it in the high yield savings?
Honestly, just because I have been too busy to look at it and I just saw that it was that much. And I last week tried transferring it over and it like, I need my debit card information and I don't have my debit card because I don't use a debit card. And so I just need to do like life admin stuff to try to get some of that money out of there. But am open to your thoughts as to like, what is like, how much should I keep in there as like a reasonable amount?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't keep as much as you are. You're getting paid. I mean, even with your business, it seems like it's very consistent, but you're getting a paycheck on a regular basis. So that will just continue to accrue. And just so I know, what's your net pay about monthly? What are you bringing home after the 401k contribution and so forth?
Yeah. So after taxes, after healthcare, 401k, if we're assuming my personal business is bringing in around $1,000 a month, that leaves me to $7,866.
Perfect.
A month.
A month.
Yeah.
And that's with the salary of $171,000.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now how I have it split up is into my high yield savings monthly, $2,746.
Okay.
And monthly into my checking goes $4,120.
Okay. It goes into your checking.
Yeah. So I think I can just also, what I'd like to do is just change that distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I could transfer some of the current money over from my checking into my high yield, but like just from my paycheck, just to like automate as much as possible. And then ideally, since I don't have a deadline to pay back my dad and I don't have interest on that, I do want to, like I have the funds for it. So I had been putting it off until I could pay down my credit card debt. So now that that's paid off, I want to try to like do an auto deposit of $500 a month for that into another high yield savings. My dad says that he'd like just to aggregate it myself first, like collect it first and then hand it over. So if I'm just like hoarding that money for now, I feel like it may as well be in a high yield.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. So that's kind of my plan for that.
Yeah, I think while we have interest rates that are really nice, because we didn't, as you remember, we didn't have interest rates like this for a very long time. I think it makes sense to have your cash in a high yield savings account so you're making money on it. Mm-hmm. I'm making an assumption here that your checking account isn't paying you anything on the cash.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Usually they don't, but every once in a while someone's like, oh no, my checking account pays me, but usually not.
Yeah.
So I would just move it over. Or if it's your checking account that's giving you the trouble and transferring it out, correct?
Yes.
Not, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's one thing I need to tackle, but then separately I can just go into like my like work business portal payroll thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So that's the only thing I want to go over those numbers again. So if your business is bringing in $1,000 a month, that's $12,000 a year, right? And you're making $171,000, which is a gross number, plus $12,000, that's $183,000. I think your monthly take home should be a little bit higher, even with maxing out the 401k, because you're going to max out the 401k at $23,000.
So I have 4% going to my Roth 401k currently, but then mm-hmm. I have an additional 16% of my income going to this employee pre-tax retirement account.
Mm-hmm. And you get paid every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. And tell me again what your take home is every 2 weeks, the total between both accounts, or if you want to give me both of them again, so you can write it down.
Yeah. So I have it, I can pull it up, but right now I have it written down monthly. Monthly. Okay. Going into my high yield savings is $2,746.
Okay.
And then my monthly is $4,120.
And that's going into, so what, the $2,746 goes into high yield savings and $4,120 goes into checking.
Yeah.
And then you're getting $1,000 approximately on top of that for the business.
Yeah. Which would go into a business account.
Which would go into the business account. Okay. Okay. So that's $6,866 a month. If you add up.
It's significant. Like, so I haven't been on like payroll in so many years, but I will say that mm-hmm. it felt really staggering that my take home pay is, if we just like divide my salary 171 by 12 months, I think it's around like $14,000 a month or something. Mm-hmm. So like after taxes, after all this, like I'm making
less than 50%.
feels so like that's why I just want to, if you have your pay stub, what are you putting into the 401k? Because I'm just wondering if, and when did you start your job?
I started it mid-December.
Okay. So it should, you're doing 20% total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 20% is 34,200 if you do percentages on 171,000. So I'm wondering if what's happening is you're putting, you're not eligible to put 34,200 into your 401k unless you're doing a non-deductible contribution as well, which I don't think you are because you said Roth and pre-tax. So I'm wondering what's happening is if you're going to max out your 401k earlier and then your paychecks will go up. Because it's not being done evenly throughout 12 months.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the most you can put in as pre-tax or Roth, like the combined amount of that is $23,000 a year, which the percentage for you on your gross compensation of 171 would be 13.4%. And you have your contribution set at 20.
Yeah.
So I think that's the reason the numbers aren't adding up, because you're probably going to max this out earlier in the year. And then you're going to get basically like a raise when you've maxed out your 401k. I'm assuming your 401k will just stop taking the money out once you hit the $23,000 limit for employee contributions. I think that's what's going on.
You can listen to part two of this episode next Friday, May 31st.
Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.